to do something. Call to worship, call to praise, call to repent. Repentance means to turn around. To turn around. In God's sovereignty, and this is a good thing, this is really good news, He is in the business of turning things around. Okay? When we can't. He turns people around. He turns people around. This week in our Acts study on Thursday night, we're starting into chapter 8. And it starts off with kind of a downer there. It talks about this man named Saul of Tarsus, and it describes him and what he does. And he's introduced there as a man of violence, consenting to the illegal execution of people, innocent people. And then it says he made havoc of a community, of a messianic community, entering houses and dragging off men and women. And the Hebrew word dragging means dragging, literally. Committing them to prison. Later in the book of Acts, he describes in two other places, and he's not too proud of what he did, how he was responsible for their deaths. But God turns things around. God turns things around. And you take a look at turn to chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. As havoc is being made of the community, doesn't that sound like a lot of fun to be a part of that, huh? Verse 4, look at the result. God turns things around. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Whoa. The result was they didn't go into hiding and say, oh, you know, don't believe it. No. It was the opposite that took effect. God turns things around. He turns things around. In fact, to the point, what's interesting is that the persecution itself brought about a fulfillment of God's promises, of God's purpose, that the good news would go start in Jerusalem and then go to Judea and Samaria, and that's exactly what you see the transition in chapter 8. God uses the things that look like it's adversity for His glory and for your benefit and my benefit as well. He turns things around. And this man of violence, in the next chapter, take a look. Chapter 9. And Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And by the way, this man of violence, who was, they have these descriptive terms of who he is and what he does, breathing threats, all the things he did, murderous. He's the man that would write 1 Corinthians 13. Love is very patient and kind. It's gentle and meek. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in them, always expect the best of them, always stand your ground in defending them. There are three things that keep on forever: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. He became a man of love. What happened? Well, God turned him around. He didn't do it. He didn't want to do it. I like the sovereignty of God. Suddenly, this is in verse 3, a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, okay, you don't want to hear this one. You want to hear a different one, okay? You want to hear this voice, but a different message. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Interesting. Well, let's read the next verse first. And he said, well, who are you, Lord? And the light was impressive. He said, I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. Why? Ooh. You know that there's not a good answer for that question? Not a good answer for that question. But the response was right. He said, well, you know, I can imagine a lot of stuff was going through his mind. Like, am I going to die right now? Is this my judgment? Am I going to get what I deserve? He got the opposite of what he deserved. What did he get? A calling for greatness. God is in the business of turning things around, of turning people around. He said the right thing. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Have you ever asked that question? If you ask, he just might tell you in his sovereignty, because he has a plan and a purpose for you. And for him, it was a pretty big thing. A pretty big thing. The last place he wanted to go, being a Pharisee, probably a member of the Sanhedrin, was to the Gentiles. The Lord says, I'm going to send you to them. But you're going to be known as a man of love. Every wedding we go to, we hear 1 Corinthians 13. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous, envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. The man was turned around. The sovereignty of God turns people around. He can turn you around if you need it. Joseph, one of my favorite patriarchs, great opportunity. He had the power. He had the position, he had the timing to get even with those that sold him into slavery. What kind of brothers are they? Well, they're our fathers, okay? I mean, the 12 tribes. And you know what he said? In his wisdom, he said, what you meant for evil, God has turned into good. Wow. God turned things around. He turns people around. He turned them around. The sovereignty of God. He has an eternal purpose and an eternal plan. And he can turn you around. And when he does that, maybe the question is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because you're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. What's the reason? You have purpose. In Acts chapter 3, we just finished studying that a few weeks back. Again, the proclamation and the message of Peter was repent and return to God. Teshuvah, that's this holiday, that your sins may be blotted out. Well, that's what this is all about. And he went on to say, this is a Rosh Hashanah message that he's giving, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Some people think that, well, if I repent, I'm going to get what I deserve. No. The good news is you get refreshed. When forgiveness comes, there's refreshment, there's refreshing, there's a new beginning. Anyone here like a new beginning? You can have it. You can have it. And they come from the presence of the Lord. Many times, these times of refreshing, rejoicing, but they follow the repentance. Repentance brings refreshment. Do you need refreshing? What about your relationship with him? What should it be? Well, it's a little more simple than you might think. Let's go back to our father, Abraham. He's our example. What was the relationship? He was called the friend of God. You see, God wants a friendship with you. A friendship. How's it going? When's the last time you talked? And then when you come back into that friendship, what he might say is, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I'm glad you're back. We have a lot to talk about. You have a lot to do. I have a purpose for you. And it's different than anybody else's. Friendship with God. He's in the business of turning things around, of turning people around. Does your life need turning around? He's in the business of reversing things. Now that's a picture of reversal. Refreshment. And he wants you to have it tonight. He wants you to begin tonight. But you see, repentance is something you do. It's something that you do. It's a verb. It's an action thing. You decide and you do it. Yeshua said, hey, you know, we can go through the whole thing of, well, I'm so unworthy. Hey, yeah, we all, you know, we're all there. The longer you live, the more chances you have to sin. And the more you do, Yeshua said, he that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. You know that term in the last few years, no way? He used it. If you come to me, there's no way I will cast you out. It's the safest place you can be. The safest place you can be. God turns things around. He turns people around. He can turn you around. You know, we talk about people that lived a long time ago, and Peter and Saul of Tarsus and Abraham and Joseph. But let's get inside these four walls right now, to the time in which we live. Do you need to be turned around? He can turn you around, your circumstances around, give you a fresh start. In that second section under Malchiot, take a look. It's from the Brit Hadashah. I think I'm trying to get a little bit upper beat here. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns." That's sovereignty. And the King has come. And that, those statements are yet future. And you know who heard those? You say, well, yeah, John did these. He wrote the book of Revelation. Yeah, he did, but somebody else heard them too. You did. You were there in the future. You were present for this wonderful worship service and ceremony declaring the Messiah reigns. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. So why not practice now? You know, we're going to be there doing that, but enjoy this life now. His sovereignty, you know, that's a sure thing. That is a sure thing. That is his word. In the end of his purpose and of his plan, you're a part of it. And it will be declared, "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns." As the shofar has sounded tonight and tomorrow, it's a call to repent, to return, to come back, and to get ready for what lies ahead. I hope you're watching the news. Lines right up with this book, doesn't it? Like I shared a couple of weeks ago, unbelievable. CNN. Okay, it wasn't some channel Christian thing, okay? CNN, the guy says, you know, is this the start of World War III? Some people say that these things are prophesied about in the Bible. I'm watching CNN, I'm saying, what? He said, and then he names the countries. He said, the Bible says all these things will happen just like this. I'm like, I can't believe this. That's on CNN. So then the question was, could this be? Wow. Are you ready? See, that is one of the responses, too, of the shofar. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because as the prophet Malachi said, you know, Satan takes everything God does and kind of switches it around and reverses it and makes it look foolish to the world. Like the guy in the white outfit who never shaves and never bathes and carries the sign, "Prepare to meet your God." That's not a foolish thing. God said that in the book of Malachi. He said, prepare to meet your God, because you're going to. You will meet him. Are you ready to meet him? And if the first thought in your mind is, well, I have plenty of time, I don't know. I love weddings. I don't like funerals, but we do them all the time. You don't know. You have an appointment. You don't know the day or the time. And every year we look around this room, every year, and there are people missing that were here last year. They expected to be here this year. They're not here. Yeshua's great teaching on prophecy in the end times wasn't that you know all the charts and can put them all around the room and teach all. No. He said, get ready. You have an appointment. And it's a sure thing. Prepare to meet your God, because you're going to. The shofar is also a sound of battle. You know, we saw Israel at war. It's not over yet. Did you see the news today? Not over yet. Hezbollah announced we have 20,000 more rockets that we will fire into Israel. We don't care what the UN says. They will not take them away. They're going into Israel. But the teruah is the sound of battle. What kind of battle does the Bible talk about? Spiritual warfare. Not just physical, but spiritual. The forces of darkness do not want you to repent, to return, to be refreshed. They want you to be depressed, lifeless, without hope. The refreshment that God wants to give is the opposite of all of that. But the tekiah is a call to worship. You're invited to come worship in the presence of the King, because the King has come. The King is here. His initial message was repent, turn. The King has come. And that's our message. And that's good news. The King has come. Are you ready to meet him? Do you need to be refreshed? You're invited to come and worship in the presence of the King. And as he said to Moses, in the design of the tabernacle and of the holy place and the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant and all of that, we get lost sometimes in all the wonders there. He said, I want to meet you there. I want to meet you there. He wants to meet us and fellowship with us and be our best friend. He's in the business of turning things around, of turning people around. That's like us. Come into his presence. You've been invited to worship the King. As you hear the shofar sound, this is good news. This is good news. Our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, I thank you that this instrument is an instrument of worship and praise, used 119 times in Scripture. Lord, I pray that when we hear this, we would hear you. That we would be reminded of our appointment, that it's probably sooner than we think. Are we ready? I pray that as we hear the shofar sounding, that we would heed the call to get ready and allow you to turn us around. And then say what Saul of Tarsus did, the man of violence. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then as you do that in us, we can be transformed into people of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness with a message to give a world without hope. Use us, I pray, for your glory. And I thank you for these people that have come tonight to worship together. May we hear you in the rest of this service. And I pray these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.